Meredith, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And I have something on my mind, which is a book. I read this book coming home from New York last night on the airplane, and it is called When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi. And after reading it, I will never ever think about life or death the same way again. It just completely impacted me. And how I ended up reading this book is so fortuitous. I still feel like sometimes the universe works in these very odd ways. But I went to pick my daughter up at a play date, and her friend's father is an emergency room doctor. And I was talking to him about my mom's recent illness, and he said, you know, I just bought this book and I think you should really read it. And it just arrived. He was opening the package when I was there. And so I saw the cover, and it just kind of struck me. And immediately while I was at his house, I bought it on Amazon on my phone. And it arrived the next day, and I read it in 24 hours. It is so good, and I recommend it to anyone, whether you have a sick loved one or not. It's just, I really don't think you'll ever think about life or death the same way again. And ironically, the author, who's a doctor, who's a neurosurgeon, this brilliant man who's only 38 years old when he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and he had this amazing wife, and it's really a love story as well as a story about life and death. And anyway, today is the anniversary of his death, but it's just an incredible book called When Breath Becomes Air, so I highly recommend it. Right now, I have a first caller on the line. Danny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Samantha.
Hi, Danny. Where are you calling from?
Michigan Center, Michigan.
Great. And how can I help you today?
Oh, I was just listening to the program here just a little bit ago about taking risk, and, you know, I just took a big risk.
Tell us.
I retired in July last year, and after 36 years, I took an early retirement at age 55, and I was able to do that because I did get a good pension out of it and some good medical benefits.
Okay.
But it's still, but it's not like I'm wealthy.
Right. Well, you probably have to live on a strict budget now, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm really enjoying it, but there's always that in the back of your mind, did I take a big risk?
And so tell us what you were doing. What was the job that you retired from?
Well, without getting into the details, it was a manufacturing plant where we produced a product. I don't really want to go into the company's name or anything like that, but I had some big responsibilities. The responsibilities were the timeline for projects, and politics got really bad, and I didn't enjoy it anymore. And when I seen what my benefits were going to be, it was just a no-brainer for me to take the early retirement and then find something else.
Now, have you been looking for something else?
I haven't. I've been enjoying my last 7 months off.
Okay. And so, yeah. I mean, but there it sounds like there's something that's eating at you about your decision.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the way this world is anymore, I mean, people, you hear about them losing their pensions, losing their benefits. So that's in the back of my mind big time. They can strip that from you anytime. And that's just, to me, that's just un-American, working in America.
Right. I mean, that's obviously terrifying, right? That's terrifying because that's the one thing you want to be able to not have to think about, and you want to be able to count on that. So that's very scary.
It's very scary because you hear about it all the time. And, you know, when you dedicate your whole life, and I did right out of high school until I was 55, I missed 36 years dedicated to a company, and to strip that from you, I feel so bad for that, what happens to people. And it's in the back of my mind. I mean, I don't lose sleep over it.
That's good.
Because I am young enough to find something else, and that's my plan. And there are a lot of jobs out there if you want to work.
Danny, what's going to get you back to work? Because it sounds like in the back of your mind, you feel like you need to do something that's going to be a little more secure than just living, you know, prematurely almost off of this pension.
Well, it's not that I'm looking for another security, but I'm looking for something to supplement my pension because I'm not in debt, which makes it a little easier.
Yeah, no, that you're in a very strong position to look for something because you're not in a situation where you're desperate or, you need to find something tomorrow. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. But there is really, I mean, there's never going to be a better time to look for something than right now.
Absolutely. And I do have my name in to several places, which I'm looking for an outdoors job. Even here in Michigan, I don't care if it's during the winter because I've lived here my whole life. I'm used to the elements. So I'm looking for an outside job, maybe part-time mostly, just something to supplement the pension. But there is that back thing in the back of my mind, should I stay? Because I was making really good money.
Right.
However, I was also able to get a great financial advisor, but I put a large amount of money away. So in the next 10 years, I'll feel better. But then again, I don't want to wish my life away.
Of course. And what's going on in the rest of your life? Tell us about the rest of your life.
Oh, my rest of my life, I've been married for 30 years. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary in September. Went to Cancun,
Congratulations.
Mexico. Yeah, and my wife still
You went to
works. My kids
Mexico,
are
you
grown up.
said?
Yeah, we went to Riviera Maya for a week.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it was really relaxing. It was kind of for my retirement and our anniversary. So that was a lot of fun.
Wow.
But
Now, does
my
your
kids are
wife
grown up.
work?
Yep, my wife is still working. She wants to work until she's 62. And,
Okay.
so do I. So do I when I get
Yeah.
another job.
And by the way, Danny, I just want to plant this in your head. Retirement ages of yesterday are not retirement ages today in terms of when you think of life expectancy, right? Because it used to be that, the average person retired at 65 and was dead by 70, right? But now,
Right.
when lifespans are longer, it really actually doesn't make sense that the retirement age is typically 65. So you might think about extending that time, even for your wife. I mean, I don't know what her situation is, but there is something to be said about the fact that we feel more productive and we're healthier when we have some sort of thing we're producing, right?
Sure.
I mean, what is it
Sure,
like
Anne.
for you to go from having this, very set obligation with people counting on you and responsibility every day, and now you're 7 months into it? What is that like for you to suddenly have none of that?
It's totally different. It goes both ways. You're excited. You don't have the responsibility, but then you don't have the income you had, and you're not doing the things you were doing. Now, granted, it's only been 7 months, and it's been a long, cold winter, so that's depressing enough. But
Right,
no, I'm looking
right.
for I'm look I'm looking for it. I'm looking forward to something. I know I'll get something. Like I said, life is really short. When you turn 45, 50 years old, I think that's when it really hits you how short life really is.
It's true.
And it is true. I mean, you just see everybody, friends that family members dying early, and it's just scary. So,
Right,
why not take the risk?
yeah, no, and why not take the risk? And also, I think you have a healthy attitude about it, which is you're also going to supplement your income because then you can go on more vacations to Riviera Maya and you can
Yeah,
do
no
more of the
kidding.
things you love.
And
So
that's the plan.
that's great. And how does your wife and your kids react to your retiring?
Oh, my wife was very supportive. Very supportive. She was really excited, probably more so than I was. And of course, my kids, they're both grown up and moved off, and they're very supportive as well. They were shocked. They were shocked that I, had responsibilities I did, and now I don't have them anymore. But
Right.
they're happy for me.
Now, Danny, do you need any help or coaching in the getting back to work phase of this, or you feel like you have that under control?
I think I have it under control. I'm being really picky. I've had some offers, but I
Okay.
don't want to go back into manufacturing.
Right. Okay.
I
So,
want to be outside. Maybe a golf cart, a golf course ranger or something.
oh my gosh. So, have you applied to any golf courses?
Actually, I have, and I'm waiting to hear back from one right any day now.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I was going to say, you should, this is really the time to take those risks, Danny. So, these are the, anything that sounds dreamy to you should just go after it.
Absolutely. And that's what I plan on doing.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Danny, will you keep us posted on your job search and let us know how it's going?
Sure.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thanks for your time.
And for those of you out there listening, one of the things I love about Danny's story is that he does have a lot of security now because he has his pension, but he's going after something that's going to also make him feel productive on top of that. And so he's really setting himself up for future success. We will be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck.
23.
When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love.
Hello, we are back. I'm your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And I love connecting with so many of you all week long in our Facebook community at facebook.com/Samantha Edis. So please join us there, or you can reach me all week long on Twitter at Samantha Edis. And every Thursday, as many of you know, I launch a free weekly newsletter that has lots of work-life balance tips and links to my favorite articles and videos of the week. So you can sign up at SamanthaEdis.com. Right now, I have our next caller on the line. Miracle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, where are you calling us from?
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Terrific. And so tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, I just graduated with a bachelor's degree in theater. I moved back to Little Rock, and my husband and I got in an apartment, and last year it burned down. And so I made the decision to go back to school to be an RN, and I'm having trouble staying focused and you know, pushing through, like, you know, I have to get this done, and, you know, I need to make more. Ultimately, I wanted to act and learn how to be a director, and I just feel kind of like I failed, if that makes sense.
How old are you?
24.
Okay. And what was the decision? What was the point at which you decided to leave theater and go into going back to school to become an RN?
After my apartment burned down, after we lost everything, and I think when I went to the hospital and I started working there, I think I let people talk me into thinking that it was kind of silly, because I know a lot of people have the idea that they can go out there and get into the industry. And so I just let myself get talked into changing my plans.
And who were the people that talked you into it? Would you say, who are the voices that you heard the loudest?
My coworkers. They were right there when it happened. I mean, they supported me and getting me back on my feet, but I don't know. I guess I just feel like I needed a better job because I was working as a patient care tech.
And what kind of money making opportunities were there in the theater for you?
Well, there was none here in Arkansas. I looked at the Repertory Theater, the Weekend Theater, and they they didn't need like a new assistant director or anything that I could try to get my feet into.
So what was your ultimate plan? So let's go back. Let's put ourselves back in your shoes before you took the turn to become a nurse, and let's instead think of where you were before the house burned down. What your plan was? What was it?
It was to get my master's degree in acting.
Theater. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what role did your husband play in this? Because it sounds like there weren't any local opportunities, so it would require you to move and relocate. Is that right?
Right. He was very supportive of me being in theater or being in film if we had decided to move to where that was more where that was available to be in the film industry. But I guess in a way I convinced him that it would have been better to be an RN or to take a year to go back to school. And I mean, he did tell me that I shouldn't give that dream up.
So he's willing to make sacrifices for your dream to happen.
Yes, he's also in school now. Yeah.
Okay. Now tell me, what's preventing you from tomorrow going back to this dream?
I'm scared of being a disappointment. You know, everybody seems so happy that I'm in school to be a nurse.
Who are the happy faces? When you say everybody, who are the happy faces?
My parents. My mom was a nurse for some time. My dad's brothers, they're doctors.
Okay. So it seems to me, Miracle, that the great thing about nursing is it will always be there. If you are 40 years old and want to go back to nursing school, you can. But the theater won't always be there. So let's look at you as a 30-year-old. You're 30 years old and you are a nurse in a hospital. How does that feel to you when you think of that vision? What does it make you feel?
I don't know if I'd be happy.
Okay.
I lost myself.
What if I told you that at age 30 you were working in local theater, directing a show?
That would be a dream come true, actually.
Okay. So what would you say to your 24-year-old best friend who is giving up on her dream at age 24, which is so young?
To see if they could put that first.
Okay.
Find a way to be happy and know that that's the right decision.
Okay. I think you know in your heart what the right decision is for you right now.
I think I'm just, of that not working out too, because I do want to act and I do want to learn to be a good director and I do want to be in film and theater.
So it
just
sounds
has
like
fear.
You know most people struggle because they don't have a dream. You have had for a very long time a specific dream, okay? Mm-hmm. And you let life circumstances derail you for the time being. But there is nothing that should prevent you from getting back on track. You have all the ingredients you need. You have a supportive relationship. You don't have kids yet, so you have the freedom to relocate for the right thing. And there is nothing stopping you from pursuing this dream except for the disappointing people around you. But your parents already had a chance to live their life, and this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time that starting today, you go back to pursuing your dream, and no one can argue with that. And if they do, then they're not people who are going to be supportive of your dream, but you want to surround yourself by people who are. So do you think you could go back to pursuing your dream?
Yeah, I would love to. It seems scary, but I mean,
all right, I want you to call me back in 2 weeks, Miracle, and tell me what steps you've taken to go back to the dream.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much for calling. We'll be right back after the commercial break. But the queen has been overthrown, and I'm not sleeping now. The dark is too... Thank you. Welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And I love connecting with you all week long on Twitter at Samantha Edis or in our vibrant Facebook community at facebook.com/Samantha Edis. Right now, I have our next caller on the line. Corey, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Corey. How can I help you today?
How can you?
I'm sorry, what, Corey?
So how can you help me today? In
well,
this
tell
world
me, tell
where
me.
It
yeah.
Well, in this world, it's getting more and more increasingly difficult for a single male that's getting older to meet a woman. How about do you suggest going about new strategies or approaches?
So, Corey, tell me about how old you are and where you live.
I'm 28. I live in South Carolina.
And what's your life like? Do you work?
I help people. I used to be a chef for 10 years, and then I decided to go, feel like the Lord was calling me to go into the ministry, so I moved back home to help take care of my family.
And what does that entail when you say take care of your family? Who's in the family?
I got my mother and my grandmother who's not doing too well, and a stepfather, and my other family is married and scattered abroad.
Okay, so when you say take care of them, are you involved in their daily care?
Yes. I mean, as well as their emotional maintaining.
Okay, what does that mean, emotional maintaining? Tell me.
Well, I think it goes back to keeping a family bond, you know, keeping a strong family foundation. That way you can have something to pass along to a future generation whenever you have kids or meet somebody to get married.
Okay. And how many nights a week are you spending at home with your family?
I usually spend each night at home with my family.
Okay.
With an occasion of, you know, one or
two. So it sounds like you're not even out and about to meet anyone, right? I mean, if you're at home with your family, someone would have to knock on the door to find you.
Very well.
Right?
That's right.
Okay, and during your days, what are you doing?
I go out and pretty much I meditate. I like to read the Word of God and just get in tune with nature.
How do you earn money?
I help people out. Like today, I'm helping trim limbs from trees, and I go into a little restaurant and help them clean up on occasion. Just pretty much, I make money to sustain myself.
But Corey, what's your long-term plan? What's gonna be? Like, for example, you were a chef for 10 years. So what made you leave a career and now go to doing odd jobs? What happened to make you leave your career as a chef?
I miss it, and I wish I could explain it in another term, but all I can say is that I decided to follow Jesus, and there wasn't no turning back. And at that point, I just followed God.
And do you think that Jesus didn't want you to work?
He said, take up your cross and follow me. I mean, I still work. He said, he that does not work should not eat. But,
okay, but what, I'm having trouble understanding the conflict here between you left your career because you thought Jesus was telling you to go somewhere else, but why not pick up your chef career near where your family lives? Why not go back to being in the kitchen?
That's a definite possibility, but I'm looking to getting into church work where I can better establish a ministry and reach people.
Okay, and so have you done that? Have you approached a local church and tried to get involved that way?
Yes, I visited all the churches around the upstate and probably.
And are there opportunities there for you?
I believe that, you know, maybe that's where I'll meet my wife, in a church.
Okay, but Corey, you're calling me, you're presumably calling because you can't figure out how to meet anyone. But right now we have bigger problems than how you meet someone, because you're not financially secure and you're not setting yourself up for a financially secure future. Because when you take odd jobs, it makes you less employable, right? I mean, every year that passes since you left your chef career makes it harder for you to get back to another position like that. And
well, I mean, I could go anywhere in the world and still be a position of executive chef that I was. But it takes away from the time that I would be able to actually go out and meet people, being stuck inside a kitchen instead of actually mingling with the people, which I am, you know, here to help.
And
also, if the Lord calls you into something, God will provide.
But God forbid you got sick tomorrow. You don't have the financial security to take off a few months from these odd jobs and sustain yourself, do you?
Well, that's by the grace of God, where He has provided through Obamacare. You know, I have insurance to go see the doctors, and if I didn't have anywhere to go, I have a place where I could have safe haven and rehabilitation. I mean,
all right. So let's go back to your original question. What was your last relationship like? Because it sounds like you're very focused on meeting someone. So what was your last relationship like?
Well, it's been about five or six years since I've had my last relationship. And I've been looking all those years, and I haven't been able to find anybody where it's come to the point where I'm going to let them come to me.
Well, they would really have to come to you. They would have to come to your door, because you're not really available. You're not out and about, right? I mean, someone would have to fall onto your windshield to find you.
That's probably well true. Or, you know, just by God's grace bringing us together.
Well, how would they bring you together when you barely are going anywhere? It's weird, because you have this goal, which is to meet someone, but you're not doing anything that gets you towards the goal, closer to it, right? So, you know, when you meet people, it's a volume game. You need to meet enough people so that you actually can select someone who is a good match for you. So one of the great things about right now is that you could do online dating. Have you thought of that?
Well, I've actually tried every avenue of online dating, and all of them have come back inconclusive.
What does that mean, inconclusive?
I'm saying that I've had no luck on online dating, and I've tried nearly every different aspect of it, different websites, and the few girlfriends I did get, I got from online dating, and
okay. Well, here's the thing. The great thing about online dating is that someone could sign up today who's the love of your life, right? So you can never give up. It's basically like saying, I went to this restaurant and I met a lot of people, but I didn't meet anyone I liked. You could say, okay, well, someone could walk into the restaurant tomorrow that you love. So with online dating, you have to keep going at it. But obviously, if you're having bad luck with it, I'm wondering if it's because you're not directed the rest of your life. And I have a feeling that when you get a job that's a full-time, real job that's pursuing your career again, whether it's being a chef or it's being in the church, you're going to end up meeting someone really quickly.
I agree.
So let's 100%. Focus on that. Instead of focusing on meeting someone right now, let's focus on how we can get turn these odd jobs back into a career. Corey, thank you for calling. We will be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned. Was asked about a story that was written about this week about a woman who got very frustrated with her son at Starbucks. He was only 3 years old, and instead of dealing with him in any sort of calm way, she said to him, you know, please leave right now. We're leaving right now. He did not respond the way she wanted him to. He said, I'm sad and I hate you. And she said, you're being naughty. Now, as soon as a child gives us a sense of what they're feeling and they say, I'm sad, our first job as parents is to say, you're sad. You're identifying your feelings. What makes you sad? And that's how we teach empathy to our kids, is by showing empathy first to them and to other people. But when we dismiss their feelings and just tell them they're naughty, when they're saying to us, I'm sad, do you know how hard it is for a three-year-old to say, I'm sad? And this woman called her son naughty, and she left the Starbucks without him and walked down the street and went to the fruit stand. And all the people in Starbucks were horrified, and he was starting to run out the door after she'd already left, so he was all alone in Starbucks. He's starting to walk out the door into Manhattan, into a busy street, and a couple of the people at Starbucks got very concerned for him, and one mother took him by the hand and walked outside, and they found his mother together. And the mother saw him and said, that's what happens when you're naughty. And she grabbed him. Now, that is a situation where you must speak up for the child, right? You must say to the parent, I was going to call child services because you can't treat a child that way. We have this thing in America where if we see a puppy being kicked in the street, everyone comes to the puppy's rescue. But if you see a child being hit in public, we say nothing. And that has to stop. And one wonderful thing to say to people when they say, it's none of your business, it's my child, say, children are everyone's business. They're our future. And when you say that, people respond. They really do. They know that, wow, there are people out there that think it's not okay to hit a kid. And unless we start questioning really, really bad behavior, we're not giving any hope to changing it. Right now, I have our next caller on the line. Nyerika, am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are.
Terrific. It's such a pretty name. Where are you calling from?
I am actually calling right now from Sefner, Florida.
Oh, lucky you. Is it sunny there?
Yes, beautiful weather.
Awesome.
Yes, right now it's a little cloudy, but it's
a little
wonderful.
Cloudy? those pass quickly in Florida, right? The clouds?
Yes.
So tell us why you're calling.
I'm actually calling to, you know, kind of give a brief story of mine, which is me placing some kids up for adoption that I had, you know, and a lot of people don't understand the struggle behind that. So maybe if we can kind of, you know, give people another point of view of other people's situations with adoption, then maybe there'll be a lot more understanding to others.
So what was your story?
I had my first child at the age of 18, which wasn't easy, you know. I did graduate from high school, but at the same time, I felt as though I didn't have the financial support. I wasn't, you know, stable or any of those things throughout the three pregnancies that I had.
You were a baby having a baby, really?
Yes, a baby having a baby. Well, a baby having three babies, let's say. I had my first kid in 2010, my second was in 2012, and my third was in 2014. And I just recently had a baby who is currently in my home now.
So the other three babies, you gave up the other three babies for adoption?
Correct.
Why did you keep having babies? Why didn't you use birth control?
Pretty much young, stupid, you know. I made my mistakes, and I guess, you know, little to say that it did take me three times to make the same mistakes to be able to learn from it.
Okay.
I don't kind of regret the decision at all. Most people think I should, and sometimes it is shameful and kind of hard to deal with, you know, but you have to keep pushing forward and just have faith in yourself that you can continue to not make those same mistakes over and over.
That is so right. And no one wins by dwelling. I completely agree. You can learn from your mistakes, but you can't dwell on them because that does not lead to any sort of good life. So tell me about your fourth baby.
Well, my fourth baby, she is, she's 3 months old. Yes, she is 3 months old. She's healthy, you know. Having her in my home every day, just looking at her, it just shows me that my parenting skills had developed a lot more than what I could handle before. You know, she's a happy baby. She's smiling every day, and you know, like she's like my best friend. She's my best friend.
Tell me about that. You're planning on keeping her?
Yes, she's in my home for good. I have everything I currently need. You know, I have an amazing fiance. He's so amazing. He's an amazing dad. I have a big support system. You know, I'm financially stable. I have my own place to call home.
And do you work?
Everything I can. Yes, I have my own company, in fact.
Doing what?
Yes.
What do you do?
I am a CEO of installing carpet. My goal is to expand it by, you know, hiring more crews. Currently, my fiance right now, he does all the manual labor, but I do all the financial paperwork and all the hiring and everything. So it's working out good.
I mean, what's amazing about your story is that you not only have you emerged as this mother who's really nurturing, but you're also a wonderful role model to your daughter.
I am. And, you know, that's the goal. I want to be able to have that image. I want to be able to carry that image, not just for my daughter, but for other younger kids. You know, everyone has a situation that they deal with. The question is how many times are you going to allow the same situation to keep you down? It's up to you to do something about it.
And look at you. You've literally emerged from the ashes with an amazing story. And I really want to urge you, if you ever need any support about your parenting or any questions, you can always call our show and I would be happy to help you. Or you can always reach me on Facebook or Twitter and I would be happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much.
Nayarika, thank you so much for calling. And we are out of time. Thank you all so much for listening. Be great to yourselves, great to your kids. And we'll be back with you and connect with me all week long on Facebook, facebook.com/Samantha Edis. Have a great week, everybody.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.